Samuel gets it. Trent Williams out in front of him. Ayuk blocking. Debo. End zone touchdown. What a play. No flags. Another one for San Francisco.
Dare I say it, that is going to be your NFC champion, the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they look to me like the best team in NFC, and they are so much more dangerous on offense now, adding McCaffrey into the equation. As long as they stay healthy, and Garoppolo now, it looks easy for him. Granted, he had protection, didn't get pressure a lot last night. But when you can dump it off to number 23, and then they got their best running back who played last year back from injury, Debo Samuel, Ayuk now, Kittle's healthy, Jimmy Garoppolo with four touchdown passes last night, and the 49ers cruise. And I'm feeling a lot better about the Brady Buccaneers not going to the Super Bowl, because right now I'm looking, and I know it can change. I know the Buccaneers can get better. But I look at the Cowboys have a good defense and can get to the quarterback. The Niners have a good defense and get to the quarterback. And the Eagles have a really good defense, get to the quarterback. And all three of those teams can score, too. So right now, to me, the best three teams in the NFC, and you can put them in whatever order you want to put them into, but I would say I might still have the Eagles 1A, but I got the Niners 1B. And then I think I got the Cowboys next. I mean, when they blow out the Vikings like they did, the Vikings, I think, were exposed a little bit. They're not quite as good as a record because they won a lot of close games, but they're still a good team. I mean, those three teams right now look to be the best in the NFC, and all three of those teams would give the Chiefs problems if they met the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So, you know, early in the year, we were talking about how, well, you know, it's the Chiefs and the Bills, two best teams in all of football. The two best teams are in the same conference. I don't necessarily agree with that now. Do you guys?
As the weeks go by, I don't. That's for sure. Buffalo's had some issues, obviously, closing out some games and things like that, so... Yeah, no, I don't probably agree with that at this point.
I think the 49ers and the Cowboys and the Eagles are all better than the Ravens, and right now the Ravens are probably the second best team in the AFC, the way things are. Well, them and the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad that I don't even think about the Ravens, right? Like,
yeah.
When you move forward, the Dolphins are a team that obviously is moving up and trending up, and so that kind of changes what the mentality was early in the season with the two teams being the Chiefs and Bills. But it's different in the NFC now. The definite key for the 49ers is health. There's question about that.
No doubt.
You know, there's teams that can get by by having maybe one key injury or something like that. But one of those guys goes down for the 49ers, it kind of changes just the whole vibe of what they're trying to do.
I was asked last night, who are you, if you're a Chiefs fan? I said, yes, I'm a Chiefs fan. Who are you more worried about? If you had to play and you had to choose between these two teams, who would you rather play? At Arrowhead, okay? Because you're assuming that the Chiefs have number one seed if they take care of business, because the rest of their schedule is fairly easy. Who would you rather play, Bills or Dolphins?
It's right now it's the Bills, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be the same way once we get to that point of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd still say Dolphins probably in the grand scheme
the
end, because it's a team that's not really been there yet, and it's not a team that's been in those experiences.
I'll tell you that I would rather face the Bills in certain ways, because, one, we have had their number in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Two, the Dolphins have speed that you just, I mean, it's not just Hill, it's Waddle and Hill, and then they also run the ball better than the Bills. But the wild card is Tua's never been in that spot, in that situation, but neither was Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they went an Arrowhead and won, and that still, I think, was a fluke. But at the same time, the Bills, they're very familiar with everything the Chiefs do, so you might want to play somebody that's not familiar with you. And the Dolphins, the Chiefs don't play them during the regular season this year, whereas last year the Bengals, I think that helped, playing the Chiefs the first time. But at the flip side, the Chiefs haven't faced a team like the Dolphins with that kind of speed on both sides in regards to Waddle and Hill. And the Dolphins' defense is very good. And right now it might be better than the Bills, because the Bills got some key injuries here and there. But I go back and forth on it. I I know one thing. I'd hate to see Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins beat the Chiefs. I really would prefer that the Chiefs just don't play the Dolphins at all.
I don't want to play
them. And I'm okay with avoiding the Bills, too. I mean, clearly, because I think when the Bills are healthy, they are – I mean, them and the Chiefs are 1A and 1B. I still think the pass rush is the difference with the Bills, and Von Miller's still the X factor. But I also believe that the Chiefs will have a different game plan, and they might not have showed everything because, you know, it's regular season. And I don't know. I could go back and forth, but I think those two teams, to me, those are the two most dangerous teams in the AFC. I'm not really overly concerned about the Ravens. I think the Bengals can be dangerous. They can be, but I don't think they're as good as last year. But Chase has been out. Now Mixon's concussed, but they get those guys back probably just in time for the Chiefs to play them in a couple of weeks. You know, that's a team that still you'd be leery of in the playoffs, especially if you lose the Bengals a third time in a row and you'd be 0-3 against Burrow and the Bengals, which would be really, really odd. But to me, it's just two teams that really, really concern me, and that's the Dolphins and the Bills.
I think the Dolphins are the one right now. If their secondary gets a little bit healthier, then you'd start talking about it like you do the NCAA tournament and your matchups. And I think the Dolphins can rush the passer, which you got to do against Mahomes. Their secondary has players back there, but they're not always healthy, so we'll see what it's like come playoff time. But and then you talked about the speed. You just you can't match up with Tyreek Hill's speed. That's the thing there. Mm-hmm. So right now I would say the Dolphins, I have the right to change my mind if Josh Allen starts to look like Josh Allen did the first quarter of the season, but I don't think he's like that right now with that elbow, so we'll just have to see.
I think the Dolphins are the scariest team in the AFC, the scariest. But who knows? They might not even get there in regards to. But you could very well see the Chiefs play the Bills or the Dolphins in the divisional round, and then have to play the other one
right
in the AFC title game. That's a tough road, man. I mean, but you know the Chiefs, and everybody worries as a Chiefs fan. You always worry about what the other teams can do to beat you, and what you forget about is you've got a pretty good team yourself that they have problems matching up with the Chiefs. So
yeah, I mean, do the Dolphins have a Von Miller? I don't think they have that, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a good defense, right?
They got guys that can rush the passer.
Yeah, if they don't have what I feel like is a – it just depends on how that line's going to play,
too. The Bills don't have Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
They have Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, they've got Diggs.
And Gabe Davis is a good player.
Yeah, and Davis is the one that actually hurts the Chiefs more than Diggs
does. Yes, absolutely.
Because I think they kind of adjust and understand who Diggs is, and they try to take him out of the game, and then that's when – and that's what they would try to do with Tyreek, obviously, is take him out, and then that's going to open up Jalen Waddle. So Jalen Waddle's probably the one that would have a field day against the Chiefs if they played, kind of like a Gabe Davis type situation when all the attention's on Stephon Diggs. There's a concern there, obviously, but do they the Chiefs' offensive line has shown, even against good teams, that they can do it, but it's just, like, so inconsistent. And if you have somebody like Von Miller, that's going to make all the difference in the world, I feel like.
Going back to the NFC, the 49ers won last night 38-10 over the Cardinals. They're 6-4. They now lead the NFC West with a tiebreaker over the Seahawks. I tell you, when I look at the Super Bowl possibilities of the Chiefs coming out of the AFC, I know a lot of Chiefs fans are going to say, well, we definitely want the Niners. We have their number. We beat them in the Super Bowl a few years ago, and Jimmy G doesn't look like a team guy. I mean, can he beat Mahomes head-to-head and so forth and so on? And we beat them pretty good in San Francisco. Well, the Niners had a lot of injuries in that game. They didn't have a lot of key players in that game. McCaffrey, it was his first game in the offense. He was on a limited play count in regards to knowing all the plays. The playbook has widened since then. And I think back to the Chiefs when they whipped the Buccaneers. Well, the Buccaneers were helped out so much by seeing the Chiefs, so they made adjustments. And I think the same thing would happen if the Chiefs-Niners played in a rematch. The only difference is it's Garoppolo instead of Brady, although Brady did not play that great in the Super Bowl when the Chiefs won. It was about the Buccaneer defense, not about Tom Brady. I'll tell you the matchup I want to see. I want to see Chiefs-Eagles. I want to see Chiefs-Eagles. And you may say, well, Jalen Hurts is so mobile and he kills you with his legs. And you know what? Same thing. Lamar Jackson's hurt the Chiefs with his legs before, and the Chiefs win those games. I mean, like, I know that Jalen Hurts is going to make plays with his legs. I know Lamar Jackson's going to make plays with his legs and run. But Chiefs don't usually lose to teams that run the ball a lot or effective running. The Chiefs lose. Well, usually they beat themselves, but they lose to teams. Well, there usually will be a one wide receiver they can't defend. See Jamar Chase and Gabe Davis. I mean, even though they still won that game last year, but they really shouldn't have, except for Mahomes in 13 seconds. So, You know, for me, the Eagles have A.J. Brown, so that would be scary. But the Eagles, defensively, they've really gotten better at the run defense by picking up Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. But the Chiefs don't run the ball that much, so that's not a big deal to me. Andy Reid versus his old team, that would be awesome. I'll take Andy Reid against Nick Sirianni head-to-head in a head coaching matchup. Eagles and Chiefs, I mean, both would be explosive, probably be a high-scoring game. But I'm honestly, it sounds weird to say, but I would rather play the Eagles since they haven't seen us all year long, or even the Cowboys, although they saw us last year. Eagles saw us last year, too. But that was with Tyreek Hill. This year, they haven't seen the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill, whereas the Niners have seen everything that we do. So if I was going to pick a team I'd rather play in the Super Bowl, if I had to pick my pick, I would like to stay away from the Buccaneers. I'd like to stay away from the Niners because they both saw us this year, and we beat them pretty good, and we scored all over their defenses, so they'll be super motivated on top of that. They'll make adjustments like they did in the Super Bowl with the Bucs, and they beat us 31-9. I say us, I don't play. But I'm a fan, so that counts. So I would rather play a team that we haven't seen during the season, with the Eagles, the Cowboys, you know, if the Vikings somehow got there. But I don't want to see a rematch of anybody the Chiefs have played this year on the NFC side. Even though the Chiefs won comfortably against the Buccaneers and won comfortably against the Niners, both those teams were going through a ton of injuries at the time and were not playing good football. They're playing really good football. They're finding themselves, both those teams, but especially the Niners. And I would rather not see the Niners. I would rather take the Eagles. And I know there's a lot of Chiefs fans would say, you're stupid, man. There's no way. I'll take Jimmy G versus Jalen Hurts. The Niners have, I would say, more weapons than the Eagles have on offense. And I do think the Niners' defense is as good as the Eagles. And they got the Nick Bosa off the edge. Greenlaw's a really good player. So I don't know, man. I know we're looking way ahead, but I would rather the Chiefs play a team they haven't seen during the season, because you can't simulate what the Chiefs do until you've seen them.
Well, yeah, that's the obvious key to that is, I think that's the way that it is at every level, right? Like, if I'm in a state championship game, I'd rather play somebody I've never seen before. Like, football, basketball, whatever it is, right? Like, I'd rather play somebody that's not played me. And understand that puts me at a disadvantage, too, because I don't know what the other team's doing either.
Right.
Because I haven't seen them. But if you feel like you're the better team going into any of those kind of matchups, mm-hmm. you want to be like, I want to play this team. I want to throw in some wrinkles that they haven't seen on film.
Yeah.
Now, I can't do that when I'm playing them in the regular season, and then they've played me. They know the speed of how we play.
Right.
Some of the nuances that we have, the tendencies that we have. If you play somebody during the regular season, that kind of negates the advantage you might have in the Super Bowl or mm-hmm. even in the AFC Championship, whatever divisional round, wherever you're rematching a team at any point of the postseason.
But in the Super Bowl,
I definitely don't want to play a team that I've already played. That's my mentality every year.
Like, yeah.
I wouldn't want to play a team that I've already played in the Super Bowl.
I don't think it's as big a deal in high school. I mean, we see teams beat teams 2-3 times. I don't think it's as bad in high school.
Well, I'm saying that at like state in high school.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like sub-state or
stuff
like that.
I mean, we're going to see Axtell Thunder Ridge. You know, they played you the last 2 years. I mean, we'll see if that helps Thunder Ridge. I don't think a lot of people think it will.
But yeah.
We'll find out. I know it's not in the same season, but Axtell has everybody back from last year, and Thunder Ridge got pummeled. So we'll see if that helps Thunder Ridge, that familiarity, even though they've gotten beaten the last 2 years against Axtell. But, you know, a lot of times I've seen it in football playoffs. And there have been times we saw Oakley have a rematch and make a run. But usually in rematches in high school football playoffs, it usually is the team that won the first one wins the second one. It usually does. I mean, if I did the math, I bet it's 85% rematches go to the team that won the first one. But in college,
we had a Conway Springs beat Inman 35-14 in the regular season. Inman beat them 23-6 in the playoffs. So that's
Example. You can give me a few examples. I bet you can give me more examples.
But I'm just saying.
That's something
that did happen this season. So.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, in college football, first of all, you got way more coaches, way more time, way more analytics. You got way more stuff at your disposal than you mm-hmm. do at the high school level. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
So you, and also these guys are getting paid millions of dollars, okay? So when Georgia and Alabama played last year, Alabama beat Georgia, remember? And then everybody picked Alabama in the rematch. Georgia made the necessary adjustments and won that game against Alabama and controlled the game. Okay, that's the college level. These are coaches getting $7 to $10 million a year with huge coaching staffs and have all the technology they need to have a chance to win a rematch. The NFL, I mean, we use the Buccaneers and Chiefs as an example. We've seen it with the Giants and the Patriots. That remember, 18-0, the Giants lost to the Patriots at the end of the year, and then the Giants won the rematch. We see this a lot in the National Football League in regards to rematches in the playoffs, rematches in the Super Bowl, where that second matchup, the team that lost seems to have a bit of an advantage because they make the adjustments, and you almost need a third matchup for the team to counter-adjust the adjustments. So I see it happen a lot more often in the college and the pro ranks. I mean, when we see it in the Big 12 many times where, you know, hey, we avenge a loss in the Big 12 title game, or, oh, wait a minute, we beat them the first time. Why do we got to beat them a second time? Then we don't beat them a second time. And so I think it's just way more prevalent in college and pro. I'm not disagreeing with you that it doesn't happen high school level.
My point of the high school
I just don't think it happens nearly as much.
No, my point of the high school thing is what we're talking about here. It's not about you can't win the game. It's about I would rather play somebody that I've not played already.
Right.
That's
right.
As a coach, right. If I'm going through it all, that's my point. It's not that it happens all the time. I mean, there was two of them that happened on Friday night.
Right.
That the team that won in the regular season lost in the playoffs. So it happens, but I'm not saying it happens a lot. What I'm saying is, like, as a coach or somebody that's going into it, me as a fan of the Chiefs, I'd rather play somebody that I haven't seen already.
Right, I get that. But what I'm saying, I'm differentiating between the levels of football here, okay? So pro,
and I understand what you're doing.
Pro and college, like high school, listen, if I beat a team comfortably the first time in high school football, I'm not freaking out and thinking about all these unbelievable adjustments they're going to make to beat me, because I'm feeling pretty good about I've got the superior athlete. At high school, you can easily have the superior athletes, okay? We're not going around drafting evenly here, okay? If I'm at Andale and I got a rematch, you think I'm worried about it?
No,
okay? And Smithson in a heyday, when they had rematches, when they were dominating, you think they're worried about it? No. Do you think Beloit was worried about a rematch against a league school in the playoffs when they beat them early in the year pretty comfortably? No. So you already have the inherent advantage in regards to the talent. Like I said, there are examples where you have a rematch, a team makes adjustments, a team does win. But what I'm saying is, it's not necessarily equal playing field as much at
absolutely
the high school
not
level. Right. That's my differentiation.
Yeah.
College and pro, man, you've recruited, drafted, basically the same thing. Recruited, you've drafted, you've got an even playing field in regards to the pros you do, obviously. And then, of course, in college, you have a more of an equal playing field once you get to, obviously, you get to the teams in the SEC or the Big 12 over the Big Ten playing in the championship game. Of course, the Big Ten's exception because all the good teams are in the one division. I agree with you. I totally understand. I think where it's just nuances that we're kind of disagreeing about here. It's just that I think it's way more prevalent in college and pro than I do think in high school. But at the same time, I get your point. You're saying I'd rather have somebody that I haven't seen. I've talked to some coaches that would rather have a rematch because they say, first of all, I know what they do. I know what they do. Win or lose, I know what they do. I'm okay. I don't want to play a team that I don't know anything about, that's from a whole different area. Because now sometimes you do, because you go, wow, look at their strength of schedule. I know this is going to be easy. I'm okay with that matchup. But there are times where it's like, listen, I know we match up better with this league school because, one, we know what they do. They don't change a lot. The kids – and here's the other thing. At the high school level, you don't change things drastically between the first time you play and the second time. There's nuances, don't get me wrong, but you don't want information overload for kids that are 15, 16, 17, 18. Whereas in college, and definitely in the pros, oh my God, the playbook and the whole game plan can be completely different.
Yeah.
It is not in high school.
NFL, you have like 30 plays that are go-to, that are in there every week, and then you have another 30 or so that you get on Tuesday when you come back for that next team. Like you said, with the Chiefs and the 49ers that played earlier, if you're the Chiefs, why would you change a whole lot? You scored, 44 points against the 49ers. And then so how – and you wouldn't even know what the adjustments the 49ers are going to make yet. So that's – I understand where you're saying. And, you know, in the NFL, in theory – the New York Jets aren't supposed to be a whole lot different than, say, the Tennessee Titans and the New York Giants and all that. So I get it. You know, all these teams are supposed to be fairly equal talent-wise. You do get, you know, your Mahomes and your Josh Allens that step up and above everybody. But, yeah, I don't know. You know,
I think like a Dolphins team is harder to prepare for because you can't simulate it.
Right, right.
Just the teams had a hard time when against Tyreek Hill when the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill. They couldn't simulate it, but once the Bucs played that game, they knew it. The Buccaneers in the Super Bowl had a completely different defensive mm-hmm. strategy. It was completely, absolutely flipped mm-hmm. to what they did.
And the Chiefs played the entire game like they were still playing like they did the first game.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And then you've got to counter-adjust,
that's
right?
Exactly
and
right.
Those are things you got to do. But if it's a team you haven't played yet, then you don't have to do that. The only adjustments you have to make are the adjustments that you made on your scout or
within
your film,
the game,
whatever you saw.
Right.
And then the changes that they make during the game aren't even the same as what you planned on.
Yeah, and we all agree on this, that we'd rather, at the NFL level in particular, we would rather not have a rematch.
Especially in
unless
season.
We lost, then maybe we're okay with a rematch.
Right. Yeah.
But we had a rematch with the Bengals. How'd that go?
Yeah,
there's an example.
A lot of times.
Lost to the Bengals in Cincy. Lost to Manchester United at home. Should have won both, yes.
Yeah.
Should have.
And then again, sometimes that stuff doesn't matter. It just comes down to you fumble two more times than the other team, and you don't normally do that.
Fluky play.
Tip ball here.
Bad call
here. Miss kick there, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Or messing up before halftime. All right, All-League, Mid-Con League football, Dusty.
Yes, you can find the complete team at ncksports.com. Smith Center well represented there on the first team. Jake Sass at running back and linebacker. Luke Franklin at running back. Coy Harris-Snape and Cade Sass in the offensive line. Bentley Montgomery at defensive back. Second team picks, Eli Franklin offensive line. Harris-Snape and Jason Dabian at defensive line. Benji Carr defensive back and returner. And then honorable mention picks, Montgomery at running back, Dabian at tight end. Caden Weltmer offensive line. Alex Wilkinson defensive line. And Luke Franklin at linebacker. Again, you can find the full look at the all-league teams, 11-man and 8-man, at ncksports.com for the Mid-Continent League. We don't go through the 8-man because we don't necessarily have an immediate area team that plays 8-man football in the Mid-Continent League. So, again, all that posted, as well as all the latest in local sports in North Central Kansas at ncksports.com.
To add to your point about high school, I do think that back in the day when I was in high school and even years after high school, I think in the last 10 years, you're seeing way, I think I used to remember rematches never went the other way. They hardly ever went the other way, but Dusty pointed out a handful already. And I mentioned Oakley with a couple of them. I think it happens more often now than it's ever happened before in regards to high school rematches with teams, knocking one another off. And is that because of the format? Where you happen to, have to face a team right in your district even as early as week two sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of the equation. Because back in the day, you only took the district champion. You didn't even take the district runner-up. You could go 8-0 and lose and go 8-1 and not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. And now you have more teams that make it, so there's a chance for more rematches. That's probably why we have more of those, payback games.
You can have a playoff matchup 2 out of 3 years. And it's not – I know you're going to have different kids, but – you're going to learn the styles of play of those opposing coaches a little bit more. So you already have a head start on some of that, even if you didn't play them in the regular season. But just the way the format for Kansas is right now, you're apt to have more, you can almost have, in theory, a closer bracket to last year in Kansas than you can in a lot of different places, just the way they do it. But I think for every coach, they have a different opinion, and some would like to know or have a head start on what they're up against. Some would just like, I just want to start fresh and then see what happens. But we see in basketball, like the NBA, games 5, 6, and 7 start to slog down a little bit, because the teams do learn each other. But that's a lot of information quickly as well. So it's back to back to back to back. So that's a little bit different as also.
Series are all about adjustments when you have a series. But it will be interesting to see Axtell and Thunder Ridge because we talk about Thunder Ridge being familiar with Axtell's done the last couple of years, but it hasn't resulted in a win. Well, Axtell's familiar with Thunder Ridge does too.
Right.
See, it goes both ways. Yeah,
it does.
It really does.
And, there's a lot.
And there's also the mental part of it is, sometimes you can sit here and go, I don't like that rematches. There's times where coaches realize it, and we've seen it in our years where I don't care how many times they play. That team knows they can't beat the other team. They don't believe they can, and that game is over before it starts, and you know who's going to win, and we've seen it.
We've seen it a lot, and that happens a lot in league
you
teams.
You don't see that in college and pro nearly as much.
Yeah, I mean, league teams play each other more than once almost every year in basketball, right? And things, yeah, like that, right?
Right.
But football, it's not the same. But basketball, you know, that's where you see that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. That mental block of we're not going to beat this team. And it took forever for some of the teams that got good to beat that team that was always beating them, right?
Rossville had to deal with that with Silver Lake quite some time.
That was definitely part of the process. It's like a mental block that I can't get by this team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the mental block with anybody that's ever going to challenge Annandale coming up.
Is
they'll get real, real good, and they'll get close, but they're not going to be able to overtake them, right? Mm-hmm. And then so that just sticks in your head, and then you got to go do it, you know? There's obviously teams that are just going to be way better than whoever they're playing. Mm. And it's not going to be an issue, like an Annandale, right? Like a Smith Center that you were talking about.
Dominant.
But in some of these close matchups, like if I'm, you know, if I'm a coach at Bishop Miege, like they got Miege, Aquinas, and St. James, they all beat each other this year. And in the rematch, the other team won in the playoffs, right? So those are the kind of matchups I'm talking about.
And those are evenly, they're pretty even matchups.
Yeah, is where you think maybe it's an even matchup, and for some reason this team won by 3 touchdowns.
Right.
Probably shouldn't have, but they got breaks.
We had 4 turnovers, that's why they lost.
And then you turn around, and then the other team wins by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Those are the ones that I'm thinking of where you know that it's a matchup that is not necessarily going to go like it did the first time because you had a lot of things bounce your way.
Yeah.
And so, again, in high school, it's not going to happen as much.
Right.
But as a coach, if I'm in those kind of matchups, whether it's football, basketball, whatever sport it is, volleyball even, it's like I'd kind of rather just – that's personal opinion.
Yeah, sure.
I don't, a lot of coaches don't feel that way. But
I think
a lot of coaches do.
Well, I think it depends who you play. Obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously.
Like, as I rematch, if I won my district and I'm rematching with the team that finished 4th, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
I beat them pretty easily probably in the regular game, regular season game or the district game, and then I have a rematch in the playoffs.
Let's just do what we did
the first time. We'll go win and move on.
Right.
So, you know, those are the kind of matchups I'm –
And there's two ways of thinking things. Like, let's say, for instance, you've lost 3 straight years in the playoffs of the same team, the same school. Let's just talk high school.
Mm-hmm.
3 straight years. There's two ways of looking at it. One, oh, God, we got to play those guys again, and we never beat them. Or we are due, and we're tired of this, and this is our time. Yeah. It ain't happening again. And it just depends on your leadership, both as the coaching staff, your seniors, or whoever leaders are on the team, help dictate whether or not you believe or not. And if you don't truly believe, if your team doesn't buy in, and you've been losing to this school for a while, it ain't going to change. Not going to change. But if you believe it, if the coach can get you to believe it, even if the coach is full of baloney, but they get you to believe it. Trust me, I've been around coaches that have done this, and it works sometimes. It works. I know this is a lower level, but we had Pee Wee baseball 1 year. We were playing Smith Center. We were down 10-1 in the 3rd inning, and Jason Chancellor was coaching our team, and I was assisting, and Jason Chancellor came into the dugout and says, anybody in here believes that we can't win? He goes, we should just quit right now. He goes, we can come back and win this game. All right, there's plenty of time. And I ain't going to lie to you. I didn't believe it, but I acted like I believed it. And guess what happened? We came back and won 18-15, and that punched our ticket to state. So you need to have people that are leaders that believe, even if they don't truly believe, they can convince you that they believe, and thus you will believe in winning a game or rematch or whatever it might be, or you're a huge underdog. You have to believe. And how many times do we hear a team win, and then afterwards they interview that person or that player or that coach and say, listen, nobody outside of that locker room thought we could win except us. Yeah. Well, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what Jason and Dusty and Wade and talking heads on ESPN and Fox or whoever else. It doesn't matter what some fan that, you know, covers the team or a fan that just, you know, goes to support them. Doesn't care if Grandpa Allen or Grandma Alice or whoever or Aunt Jan think that we can't win. It don't matter. They don't play. They're not out of that locker room. We have a brotherhood or a sisterhood or volleyball, whatever the case may be. And as long as we believe we can win, then we can win. But if you let all the outside noise tell you can't win and you start believing that and you don't listen to the people that lead your team, then you're doomed to fail. So upsets are great, except when your team's the one that gets upset. I know from many times, NCAA tournament, no doubt. And of course, K-State football seen that as well in those couple of examples we've used that Dusty's tired of hearing about. Speaking of K-State, the men basketball team win at the Cayman Islands.
Kick out. Another open three. Deontay Johnson. Jackson, and a timeout by Archie Miller.
K-State rolls Rhode Island last night, 77-57, led 44-27 halftime, and cruised to victory. Marquise Noel had 12 assists, the most in a K-State game since Steve Henson did it back in 1989. Well, that takes me back in the time machine. That's back when I was...
Your name's Steve Henson. You're going back.
I was 13. I think I remember that game, actually. Naquan Tomlin led the way with 15, Keontae Johnson with 14. Jerome Tang, he liked the tempo of his team last night. Oh, let's try this again. Double click it.
They wanted to play fast, and I just felt we were faster than them. So we wanted to be an up and down game. In the second half, they slowed the pace quite a bit. But in the first half, we enjoyed getting up and down the floor.
K-State men now 4-0. They'll face Nevada in the second round of the tournament. Tip-off for that is 6:30 tonight. K-State women are ranked in the top 25. I thought they'd be higher than 25, but they are right at 25. They're at the Paradise Jam at the Virgin Islands this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday versus Clemson, Northern Arizona, and Arkansas. I'm still upset that they didn't ask me to fill in so I could go to the Virgin Islands like I did 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was. Although the Virgin Islands look a lot different after that hurricane hit it. Mm-hmm. Like that area that we stayed at, the team and everything, when I filled in, apparently that's like there's nothing there anymore mm-hmm. in that area. So Wichita State back on the court yesterday in the first game of the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. Shockers win a low-scoring affair, 55-43 over Grand Canyon. They're 3-1. Craig Porter had 14 points, 10 rebounds. Xavier Bell, 14 off the bench. Wichita State back in action today against the Dons of San Francisco at 1 o'clock. Number 10 Creighton improved to 5-0. They beat number 21 Texas Tech in the first round of the Maui Invitational, 76-65. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I can't believe he's not wearing the Creighton Blue Jay whatever clothing that Jason has.
It's in the wash.
Or
it's in the dirty clothes.
You got to wear it for the championship.
Yeah. There you go. Getting it ready. They face number 9 Arkansas, which is 4-0 on the season, 7 o'clock tonight in Maui. KU freshman Grady Dick honored by the Big 12 yesterday with a Newcomer of the Week award. Grady Dick had two solid games for the Jayhawks with 14 points, including 7 in the final 222 in KU's win over Duke last Tuesday. 18 points, 4 of 6 and 3, including a clutch 3 late to survive against Southern Utah, 82-76. He's averaging 17 points a game through the first 4 for the Jayhawks. And I would be willing to bet that Jalen Wilson, and if he wasn't, he should be considered for the Player of the Week.
He was not.
How is he not the Player of the Week?
He won it last week, I think, didn't he?
What?
Did he win Player of the Week last week? Player of the Week, Jalen Wilson. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, are they doing the Newcomer of the Week completely different then than the Player of the Week?
No, I don't know.
Grady,
I don't know.
Grady Dick, he had his performance against Duke, and then he had the Southern Utah. They based it off of just one game this week. Now Duke and Southern Utah were last week. They're the same week.
No, I'm saying I think Jalen Wilson might have won it last week. I don't know if he did or not. I can't remember.
What I'm saying is, if the newcomer came out yesterday,
the Player of the Week came out yesterday, and Jalen Wilson was not the Player of the Week.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, let me express this again. Grady Dick is the Newcomer of the Week based off of what he did last week.
Last week, correct?
Well, then Jalen Wilson couldn't have been Player of the Week last week if they released last week.
No, not based on what he did last week. Yeah, I think it was the week prior what he did. Was he Player of the Week last week?
They played Duke and Southern Utah last week.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is based on what he did in the opening game of the season, I think Jalen Wilson was Big 12 Player of the Week last week, if I recall correctly. Was he not?
I don't know.
I can't remember if he won. I'm just asking if he won it last week or not.
I really don't care if he did or he didn't. My point is, how is he not the Player of the Week after what he did against Duke? And he had 33 against Southern Utah.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but...
Yeah. Is there a rule he can't win it twice in a row?
No, I'm not saying that either. I was just in my brain. I was like, did he win it last week?
He might have. Yeah. He might have. Of course, I think...
I'm not saying he shouldn't...
Should we give awards out for one game, though?
Like, no, I'm not saying he shouldn't win it because he won it last... I was talking in my brain while you were saying stuff.
No, I get it. I thought at first what you're trying to say is...
No,
well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you...
Adam Flagler and a LJ Cryer, and that's all I see, right?
Cryer won it this week. Yeah, Flagler won it last week. Because I was wondering how Jalen Wilson didn't get it even the first week, too, if they were giving one away.
Hang on a second, I've got something here.
But yeah, Cryer won it, the Player of the Week.
Right.
Darn it, they had something here, but... that's last year. So, how in the world does Jalen Wilson not win Player of the Week?
I didn't see what this guy's stats was this week. I don't know if it had it on there.
I'm confused.
No, it doesn't have what he did.
I got to pull this up. This is going to really irritate me. So Cryer, let's see what Cryer did this week. I want to see what he did. Cryer averaged 22 points per game, 56% from the field, 50% from three. And they played number 16 Virginia and number 8 UCLA. He had 28 against UCLA. So definitely worthy. I'm not going to say he's not worthy of doing that, but Jalen Wilson against Duke, what did he have? 27?
25?
26? He like willed his team to victory in that game. And then he had 33 and carried the team on his back until Grady Dick hit a three late against Southern Utah. Or KU gets upset. Well, okay. I mean,
the headline
could have gave it to either one.
Three I'm game guessing stretch they're giving it to Cryer because he played Cryer
two top 25 teams. Right. I guess. Yeah.
UCLA and Duke are about the same ranking.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. I'm not following Baylor basketball that closely. You know.
I'm not either.
I just figured when you said Grady Dick, all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, why was Jason? Like all of a sudden, like Jalen Wilson had 25 against Duke, and like basically carried him for a stretch, and that's a national big time game against Duke, and they won. And he had a career high 33 and carried the team against Southern Utah to keep them in the game to where they don't get upset. And then Grady Dick gets newcomer of the week. I'm like, naturally, I go, well, is Jalen Wilson player? Wait a minute, why isn't Jalen Wilson player of the week? But it does make sense that this Cryer kid for Baylor had a pretty good week too. I'll be willing to say Jalen Wilson will win Big 12 Player of the Week at some point.
He'll
this
get
year.
It at some point, I would imagine. Yeah. So yes.
Okay.
We're
both wrong.
Yeah.
I thought that he should have been and he wasn't, and you thought he had already been.
I couldn't remember if he was last week or not, but I will never say that because he won it the week before he shouldn't win it again.
No, I know.
I think that's happening to Gabby Gregory though. She maybe should win Big 12 Player of the Week every week the way she's been playing. Now.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, I think there is some of that in it though.
Oh sure,
I think,
ourselves. Well, it's the same thing with MVP when we talk NFL MVP, NBA MVP. Yeah. We can't give the same guy 5 years in a row. We got to mix it up.
There's some guys that you're like, man, how did he not win Offensive Player of the Week? Oh, because he won it last week, and they probably don't want to give it to him again.
Yes, right. Yes, and you know that's not really how it should be. It should just be whoever's the most deserving, right? I'm pulling up Jalen Wilson's stats last week to be appropriate here.
He's shooting 25-10.
25-10 against Duke. Yeah, that's pretty good. And he had 33-6, and 55% from the floor, 50% from three against Southern Utah. But that might be why he didn't get it, because Southern Utah shouldn't have been that close.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been close, and they're not a team that people
want
to give credit to.
So Grady Dick gets the award this week. Maybe Jalen Wilson gets it another time.
For newcomer, based on those teams that they played.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. A little different level. Hey, K-State defensive end Brendan Mott named Defensive Player of the Week by the conference. Now, why wasn't Lonnie Phelps? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, why wasn't Sincere Mason? He had a pick six.
Like, did you see he's hurt now?
I did.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Mott recorded career-high 8 tackles, 5 solos, 3 sacks in K-State's win over West Virginia. He's a third Wildcat this season to register 3 sacks in a single game. Now, that doesn't happen very often.
No.
You rarely have one guy get 3 sacks in a game any season. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Absolutely. It's kind of obviously shown that I shouldn't have been as worried about some of the depth on this team as I was at the beginning of the year. But I saw it right away at the beginning of the season. I said that right away, too. Like, the defensive line depth is actually way better than I thought it would be because they're subbing in and out, and a lot of different guys are playing. And so if you're eating that day, you're going to get more snaps.
No doubt. The World Cup is underway. How did that go? I believe that we will tie. Yeah. I believe that we will tie. That's exactly what the USA did.
Is it tie or draw?
I don't know. I know what it is. It's tie. But there should be no ties. There's no crying in baseball. You remember that with Tom Hanks? There should be no ties in any sport.
Tell you one thing it is. It's not winning.
No, it's not winning. In Qatar yesterday, the USA was up 1-0, couldn't hold it. A 1-1 draw or tie against Wales. Against England, coming up on Friday at 1 o'clock for the USA. NBA, the Bulls beat the Celtics 121-107. Why is that noteworthy? Celtics' 9-game winning streak has come to an end. The Pelicans crushed the Warriors 128-83 last night. My first reaction was, wow, they still can't play defense. And then my second reaction is, check the box score. This was in New Orleans. Think about this if you're a fan of NBA basketball. And maybe you're a Pelican fan. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a Warrior fan in New Orleans, okay? Last night, Klay Thompson, after scoring 41 the night before and 10 three-pointers, Steph Curry, who had 7 threes the night before, Andrew Wiggins, 6 threes the night before, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond Green all were given the night off. 4 of their 5 starters were not playing at all, did not dress up to play. Now, I thought, wasn't there a thing where San Antonio got punished if they did something like that?
When the Spurs were the first ones to kind of do the load management and give old guys rest.
Yes.
Is when
they argued about the fans.
They literally got fined.
Yes.
Because it was the Heat, I think, that they were playing. And everybody, it was, you know, these two teams had been in the NBA finals and stuff. And so they didn't want to play. Mm-hmm. And, or Pop didn't want them to play on a back to back night. And he sat them. And then the Spurs got fined for it.
Yes.
Boy, how things have changed.
Now you just let them do whatever they want.
Whatever you want to do. And there, I thought there was supposed to be something in there where you're not supposed to sit all of them at the same time.
I thought so, too.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's changed. Maybe the load management thing has taken over the world right now.
Clearly it has.
Bleep about it.
But think about this for a second. Now, listen, I understand. I try to see both sides of it. You know how we are at the show. If people listen on a regular basis, we try to be as objective as we can. Now, I'm sure there's times we're not, but we try to be. I think we try to be objective a lot more than many sports talk shows. But like for me, from a coaching perspective, listen, if I'm Steve Kerr, we had a really long, tough game the night before. I've got all these guys are older except Wiggins. I don't know what Wiggins' excuse. Maybe he was banged up. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's banged up and the other three had load management. I don't know. But you're so 4/5 of your lineup is not even playing. 4 of your starters not playing. So you're automatically waving the flag. You're giving up a game. You're just losing a game on purpose, in essence, because you take the 4 best players off any team, you're not winning. So, especially at that level. So you're just going ahead. So why even show up? I mean, I know why you show up. You says you have to. But you've already made a decision as a coach that we're going to give up a game now and lose, even though we're not off to a good start, because I'm seeing a bigger long-term picture, and that is I need these guys rested. I need these guys healthy at the end of the year, because as long as we make the playoffs, I don't care if I have home court or not, we've got a chance to win another championship. And I totally get it. I understand. And as a coach, you should be able to play whoever the darn well please. All right? The owner needs to shut up and stay out of it. You hired the coach to do his job. The coach should be able to play whoever he wants. If he wants to bench the entire starting five, if he wants to rest the starting five. I get that from a coaching perspective. However, the other side of the coin to look at is, how is this good for the NBA? How is this good for the league? How is this good for people and fans? Listen, my youngest son is a Warrior fan, okay? So if I happen to be from, I lived nearby Louisiana, all right? I'm by New Orleans. But let's say I'm anywhere in Louisiana, and we're going to drive, well, in this case here, where we live in North Central Kansas, we go to a Thunder game, we drive 4.5 hours, okay? So let's say I live 3, 4, 5 hours away from New Orleans. And I want my youngest kids excited because this is the only time, and I don't know for sure if it's the only time, but it might be. Maybe there's one other time. This is the only time that we as a family, or I and my son, can go see the Warriors in person. And there are a lot of fans in all cities across the country, in NBA cities, that are Warrior fans, even though they have an NBA team in their backyard. And because the NBA is more about the players and who you cheer for, and necessarily the teams, as we've established over the years, okay? I used to be a Bulls fan. I'm not care about the Bulls much anymore. There's no Michael Jordan, you know? You might have been a Kobe fan. Maybe you're not a LeBron fan, so you're not a Laker fan, but you really were a Kobe fan, or whatever the case may be. You're a Carmelo fan, but you're not really a Nugget fan. And now they're Knicks. Now you're a Knicks fan, but then Carmelo leaves the Knicks. Well, now I'm a Trailblazer fan. Well, wait a minute. You're not a fan of the team. You're a fan of Carmelo. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I try to build to my point. So if you love watching the Warriors and that's your favorite team, or it's Steph Curry or Klay Thompson is your favorite player, you're all about trying to see them maybe one time in your lifetime, and your kid's excited about it, and maybe even you as a dad or a mom are excited about it, and you spend good money to go see them play. And then you get to the game, and it's one thing for Curry not to play. Like, if Curry's your favorite guy, you're already disappointed that Curry's not going to play. But then you can say, well, I'll still get to see Klay Thompson play. Or I'll still get to see Jordan Poole play. Whatever. And Poole did play last night. But 4 of your 5 starters? I mean, if you're not a Pelican fan, and Pelican fans might say, well, that's great. You know, we won easily. We got an easy win. But was that really fun to be up 24 at halftime and win by 45 against a whole bunch of scrubs and guys that come off the bench for the Warriors that are decent players but not starters? I mean, to me, this is embarrassing for the NBA. Okay, I understand what Steve Kerr did. I understand what Greg Popovich does, but this is not what the NBA is about. Those fans should be refunded their money, in my opinion. Now, I know they won't be, okay? And I'm being a little over the top in regards to refunding the money. You as a fan know that they could be all hurt, the key players. Key players could be rested. You do know that. Now, here's the thing. You usually know well in advance if a guy's out for an extended period of time. Okay, Luka's out with a week with an ankle. All right, I don't have to go see OKC in Dallas because I know Luka's out. But the load management thing pisses me off because they don't announce this 2 days in advance.
No.
They didn't announce it last night after the Rocket game. So you already have bought your tickets because, and you've paid a higher price, and then the ticket gougers get their money, right? So they benefit through the whole thing. And then you go see a watered-down product that wasn't even a game but a scrimmage, and you watch the Warriors lose by 45. And not only do you not see Curry, you don't see Green, you don't see Wiggins, you don't see Thompson. Maybe Steve Kerr's the one that should refund the money for those people. Because that, to me, is a big black eye on the NBA. And this did not happen, and I know I'm going to sound like old fuddy-duddy here. Well, you know, Jordan played all the time, and Larry Bird, when, as long as he wasn't hurt, he played all the time. Magic didn't take 2 days off after a tough game, and that's correct. That's correct. And until Kobe blew out his Achilles, Kobe didn't do it either. So it upsets me because I've seen where LeBron was supposed to be an OKC before, and he has load management because it's a back-to-back. And now as a fan, if you're really into it as an NBA fan, you've got to study this and go, okay, Lakers and LeBron and AD are coming to town. Russell Westbrook's coming to town in OKC. Ooh, I want to go see that game. But now you need to go, is it a back-to-back? Because if it's a back-to-back, the Lakers are probably going to rest one of those guys. And you shouldn't have to think that. You should think, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars. Can't they play two games in two nights? So yeah. I feel for every single fan that paid good, hard-earned money, whether they're a Pelican fan or a Warrior fan, because one of the biggest... Listen, we went to OKC-Memphis game last year. I took my boys. And we didn't go to see the Thunder because they stunk. We went to see Ja Morant, and I was worried that something might happen at the last minute where Ja Morant wouldn't play. And he's 22, 23, and we got load management with these guys. And I think the NBA, it's something that I don't know how they fix it. I don't know how they deal with it. But if you're going to rest one star, I get it. And then maybe you rest another star the next night. But what the coach is thinking is, I'm not going to jeopardize losing two or three games. I'm just going to do it all at once. Exactly. And I understand it. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to do that. I get it. But from an NBA perspective, this is a black eye. And if you're a fan that paid good hard-earned money to watch the Warriors last night, you got ripped off. Even if the Pelicans won and you're a fan of the Pelicans, you still got ripped off.
Yeah, I'm in a different boat here because if I spend money to watch something, it's going to be my team, right? Like, I'm a Spurs fan. So, like, if I go...
You're not going to be upset if Tim Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker don't play?
I'm going to finish what I was saying.
Okay. All right.
But yes, I right now I'm a Spurs fan. And the Spurs, even if I was going to watch a player, nobody's going to watch a Spurs player right now. Keldon Johnson, maybe at the top of your list.
Like me for the Thunder.
Devin Vassell. Are y'all going to watch Devin play?
No. Don't even know who that
now,
is, but okay.
If he's their leading scorer, actually, averaging over 20 points a game.
No idea. Never heard of him.
Now, if it is 2014, 15, 16, I'm going to watch the Spurs. I want to see Tim Duncan play.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And if I'm somebody that's out of the blue that says, oh, hey, Spurs are in town in Oklahoma City. Let's say Oklahoma City's bad.
Sure.
Like they are now. They weren't at the time.
Yeah.
Spurs are in town. Let's go watch Tim Duncan and Tony Parker play, Monte Ginobili. I don't think the Spurs got any of that kind of following like these guys do,
right.
Even though they were great and Hall of Famers.
Right.
They're not getting the same love that these guys that we're talking about, or even older guys, like even a KD at Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
People were going to Oklahoma City Thunder games to watch KD and Russ play if they were on the road and if they were a fan. So, yeah, I mean, there's a point to where, yeah, I would want that even as a Spurs fan. Like, I wouldn't want to go to a game and not see Tim Duncan if he's there. Like, that's probably one of my ultimate regrets is I've gone to two Spurs playoff games, but the first one I went to was the year after Tim Duncan retired.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never got to see him play live and see him in person. Now, I saw Tony and Manu at the end of their careers do it. But it's the point for me is, like, it doesn't make much of a difference for me. As a Spurs fan, even if those guys don't play, I'm still there watching my team, right? Like, I know everybody else that's out there. I've been cheering for them all year. I know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm going as a Ja Morant fan, I don't care about the rest of the Grizzlies. Let's be honest. I don't care who plays for the Dallas Mavericks. I'm going to watch Luka Doncic play.
That's right.
And so, yeah, that's where it gets annoying. So for me, I know that if I'm going to go watch a game like that, I hope it's like in the playoffs, because there's nothing around us, basically.
Yeah, no.
We got to go 4 hours to Oklahoma City.
You got to go to Denver, right?
Denver's or four and a half, five hours mm-hmm. away, whatever it is. Yep. So for us to make a decision to go is a little different than somebody that's an hour outside of New Orleans, maybe.
Right.
That's like, hey, we're going to go watch because the Warriors are in town. That would really make me mad, because I'd be like, okay, well, I can do this in the regular season. I'm only an hour away. Mm-hmm. But as a fan of the NBA right now, there's no way that to spend money, and I know it's a gamble, and you've done it before, right?
I have.
That I'm going to spend money personally on, mm-hmm. on something to go watch just one player mm-hmm. during the regular season.
Right.
Now, the problem that you have and the issue that you have, tickets are a hell of a lot cheaper in the regular season than they are for a playoff game.
Correct.
And so now if you're thinking about going to a playoff game, yeah, you guarantee yourself, outside of injuries, you guarantee yourself the opportunity to go watch this guy play.
Costs a lot more money.
Say the Thunder are hosting the Mavericks in a playoff game here in the next 2 years. Probably not going to happen, but hypothetically, again, you want to go watch Luka Doncic play, go down for the playoff game. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you more to get in. You're not going to get as good of a seat probably either, because you're not going to want to spend that kind of money that you would have spent on the ticket. You'll overspend to be closer to the court probably in a regular season game, but it's sometimes not feasible to overspend to get that playoff ticket where you might want to be sitting. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, listen, I was frustrated when I went down to San Antonio and watched him play the Warriors in the first round because Steph wasn't back yet. He was injured and didn't play the first round series against the Spurs. I kind of wanted to see Steph Curry play. Now, I got to see KD and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and all those guys, but there's still that chance in the playoffs where there could be an injury that you won't see.
But you know that ahead of
time. You know there's not going to be load management in the playoffs.
Exactly. And so, you know, for instance, this was a Monday night, and I don't know what everybody does individually, but it definitely, if it's a Friday or a Saturday, okay, some people may say, well, you just wait and buy the ticket at the last minute. Well, if you're traveling, like I would be from Beloit all the way to Oklahoma City, I need to make my plans to get off work on a Friday. I got to make hotel plans. I got to find a hotel because I'm probably going to go down and not come right back. Mm-hmm. All right. I got to make sure my kids can get them out of school if there is school, or maybe they have the day off from school. I got to make a lot of planning. I got to do a lot of planning, and I have to do it ahead of time because I don't live a half hour from the arena. That's a little bit different. And so I don't want to take a chance that I can't get tickets at all if I wait till the last minute, although you can get them online all the time with ticket brokers, but I might be risking having to pay even more money, mm-hmm. or maybe I do save money by waiting. So I got to put everything into the last minute to possibly know if this player that I want to see or take my kids to see, or if it's my kid's favorite player, I've got to make a decision. Either I got to stress out about waiting to the last minute, which is not ideal, or I feel better about getting ahead of time, but then the whole rug could be pulled out from underneath me because Luka's on load management, mm-hmm. because it's the second. How did I know the game the night before was going to go double overtime, and now Luka's going to have load management? You know,
yeah.
And so that's what's really frustrating, because if you're close by, even if you're close by, I mean, the other thing is the budget. I mean, so maybe the Warriors play in New Orleans twice, and you can just shake it off. Go, well, next time they're in town, we'll go to the game. Well, but maybe families can't afford to go to two NBA games. And the next one is on a Tuesday night, and there's something going on with your kids' play or rehearsal or dance or athletics, or mom won't let you and dad go on a school night and get back late. So it just, once again, the fans get screwed. I mean, that's basically the whole point of my premise here, is the fans get the shaft, and it's unfortunate. And this is just another example, and this is just one example. This has happened many times, but for four of your five starters, like I said, you don't see Curry. You could say, well, at least I'll see Klay Thompson. I can see one of the Splash Brothers. No. I don't get any of the brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't get none of it. And if I'm a KU fan, I like to see Andrew Wiggins. I don't even get to see him either.
I don't know if this one was on TNT or ESPN, but
guess what? It doesn't happen with these big. By the way, load management. Ironically, hold that thought. When there's a back to back, And it's if there's a back-to-back and there's a high marquee big-time game on TNT, or whatever it is, or ABC on a Saturday night, and they played Friday night, do those guys sit out that night for that primetime game? No. Now, why is that?
Why can't they handle...
Wait a minute. Why aren't they load management resting on a Saturday? Now, every once in a while, there'll be a player that gets rested in a primetime game. But they're sure as heck. You don't think ABC and ESPN call up the NBA offices and go, wait a minute. We paid money for rights fees to have these ABC primetime games, and you're telling me Kerr's going to rest Curry, Thompson, and Wiggins and Green because they had a tough game against the Rockets the night before? That won't happen. But then they play on Tuesday and have Monday off, and that'll be the game they get load management.
Mm-hmm. And see, when this load management thing first kind of started, they were sitting out some TV games, and the NBA and the TV people said, hey, we need to stop doing this. And I thought there was a rule that you're supposed to kind of announce this ahead of time, like when you were going to do it for rest reasons. I don't think it's a, you know.
On a back-to-back, if you say they have to announce it, say, an hour after the game, you're not going to have that figured out by then, probably, as a coach, because you want to see how the guys feel. So even if it's noon the next day, that's too late for fans.
Sure. Yeah, I understand
that. But I agree with you. It'd be nice to be like, hey, man, you know, we like to know a certain time, you got to declare who's load management.
Yeah. I got, you know.
By the way, you say rest.
Right.
Load management.
The funniest one I ever saw was last regular season game of the year, and it said something like, I think it was Carmelo, and it said, you know, it gave the time of the game and everything. Will not play Carmelo Anthony. Rest.
Yeah.
So that was the last regular season, and they weren't making the playoffs. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, why does he need rest? He's going to go off season. Right, play one more game.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, whatever. But, I you know, and it's weird because, like, baseball, and I understand the nuances. You guys understand the nuances of this. Some of that's baked in because it's 162 games.
Yeah.
You're going to get a, you know, we ran into this with
Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr.
They had an off day the next day, and 22-year-old star shortstop doesn't play, needs rest. But Whit Merrifield's 34, and he's out there playing every day.
Yep.
And we're the ones that got, you know, we were looking forward to it. It didn't make or break our trip, but it was disappointing.
Yes, but some of that's baked in. We kind of know that guys that play 150 games probably do perform better than guys that play 162 games.
Maybe,
you know. But that's the thinking. That's the rationale that they have now. So they do this, and it's kind of baked into the season, and we get it, but I don't think everybody understands it, and it is just disappointing that we didn't get to see Bobby Witt Jr. that day, and. You don't want to, as a competitive advantage or disadvantage, just say, I'm only going to do this on road games, because you could have, you know, but Royals fans are going to care about Bobby Witt Jr.,
right.
But then there's a Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
who transcends home or away,
right.
And that's disappointing, you know, like you're Steph Curry. And so I don't know how you do it, because deep down I kind of understand – hey, if LeBron James is 38, 39 years old, maybe it probably is better that he only plays 75 games instead of 82, all considering all the health, you know. But who am I to tell him which seven that is? I don't know. I don't know where that line is.
Oh, exactly. Isn't this a mockery, though, of the NBA, what the Warriors did last night in regards to...
Yes, this is sad.
I mean, that's throwing a game, is it not?
It is. It is.
You're throwing a game.
In essence.
In the grand scheme, yes, you are.
You are.
Yeah.
You're throwing a game.
And I think coaches are going to use that as an opportunity for some of the younger guys to get some playing time, but they know they're not going to win that game.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're throwing a game, and I thought Herm Edwards said you play to win the game, but, you know, he's smarter than some of the other people, I guess. But I understand the thinking of, I'm resting guys after a tough game, we barely won, and then we got another big game coming up. I get that too. But I guess the next question is, does a coach have the responsibility and to owe anything to its fan base? And a lot of people would say no, because your job is to win, the fan base won't be upset if you end up holding up the trophy again at the end of the year. They ain't going to remember about you not playing four starters in New Orleans. Now, if I'm a Warrior fan, I spent $500 on tickets and hotel and everything. Yeah, I might still be a little bit upset, but I'll feel a little better knowing the Warriors won the championship.
That question's such a fine line.
It is.
Do they owe anything to the fans?
Yeah.
And it's like, the fans are what keep you going. Like,
yeah.
They keep your organization going. They keep your business going. They keep I mean, if you don't have butts in the seats spending money on the tickets, you don't have a league.
Yes.
And so it's easy for somebody to be like, oh, he doesn't know anything to the fans. Well, that guy spent $200 of his hard-earned dollars to be in this arena tonight. Mm-hmm.
But then,
he doesn't know anything to that guy. Now, I think it's on the other side. Fans can try to take advantage of that themselves and be like, say whatever they want to say, do whatever they want to do at the game because I spent money on this ticket.
Right.
And this is my hard-earned money. I can do what I want. Well, you're going to be pushed back a little bit on that too, right?
Right.
But it is a fine line because it's like, I spent $75 to be in a nosebleed to watch your team play.
Right. $20 to park.
Yeah, maybe you should give me an effort and give me what I feel like I paid for.
At least try to win a game.
We do this with week 17. Well, now week 17.
Yeah, true.
Used to be week 16 of the NFL. Mm-hmm. We just understand it and accept it, but yet there's still that Patrick Mahomes is going to go into this year. It's Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. He's going to go into Las Vegas for the only time that year. There are going to be people that want to see Patrick Mahomes play, and he probably won't if things
I don't have to worry about buying a ticket to the Rams game next week he's not going to play.
Right.
All those guys are going to be out there next week.
Right.
Yeah.
So know way, way, way in advance there's a possibility the Chiefs could win this division and not play their starters.
Exactly.
They've done it so many times.
Right. Yes.
So in Las Vegas, you're like, oh, cool.
But
Patrick
we understand
under the
that.
In Vegas.
Yeah. Does everybody. And then
not everybody, but
right.
That's part of
I mean, if you're a fan.
That's part of people paying attention,
Yeah. I don't feel sorry for those people if they buy a ticket.
I don't either. Right. But I do feel sorry for how there's no way. They all played against the Rockets on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And now they can't put on their jersey and play the very next night, and you have no idea if they're going to play the next night. You assume they would. They get paid to play.
Well, they're 8-9. 17 games into the season, they're going to throw away a game right now when they're not even .500 yet.
Right.
And so that's what, for me, it would be like, this is the 18th game of the year. Surely they're not going to be sitting people. Now, maybe if they're 16-1 or 15-2, maybe they're going to let some people have a rest on a back-to-back night type of situation, but when you're 8-9, I don't think anybody would be thinking that. Like, they're just going to go ahead and throw away a game right now, and they're not even in the top 10 of the. Again, we're in game 18, so there's 64 of these left. Yeah. But do you throw that away?
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't think that that's going to happen at this point of the season, but it did.
And this is they've already done this one other time. Apparently, have the Warriors. And, wow, is this right? This is dated November 4th. Today's November 22nd. This happened last night that I'm talking about. That can't be right. I think they got a weird date to this story because I highly would doubt that they just happened to rest all four of those guys both times they went to New Orleans this year. I mean, maybe that's possible. But it was the last game of a 5-game road trip. And I would like to know when that story was written, if they'd had a timestamp on it, because as a fan, you're not going to see it as soon as it comes out online, the story. Mm-hmm. So, how much, let's see here. I'm trying to see.
Honestly, actually,
it
Friday,
was.
November 4th, it was Warriors versus Pelicans.
In New Orleans?
New Orleans.
So that's... Well,
off their starters both times.
That's even worse.
Upset. Yeah.
Now
yeah,
I'm even
yeah.
more upset. Yeah. You've done this twice to people in New Orleans and Louisiana. Does Steve Kerr have something against people in New Orleans and Louisiana? That's a bunch of crap, man.
Yeah.
That's not once, but twice. So now I talked about I missed it this time, I'll give them the next time. If that's the only two times you go to New Orleans, which maybe they go to New Orleans more than two times, I don't know, but that is really weird.
I wouldn't think so, because they're not in the same.
Probably not.
I think two is it.
That's messed up,
I also know that nobody would admit to it, but I was pretty sure when this load management thing started, there were teams that would absolutely... you were supposed to see this big game coming up at the end of the week. Oh, and this will be a great one for TV. It's going to be the teams that are in one and the number one seed versus the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. And I swear, one team would sabotage that every time just because they didn't want to lose that one and like lose the – or they didn't want to lose it straight up and lose the confidence or the bragging rights or something. And I just I don't know.
Okay, so yeah. We were talking about a timestamp, right? So the Warriors and the Rockets played Sunday night. And the Warriors won. Klay went nuts. Curry went nuts. Wiggins went nuts. Okay, this story came out, and I'm going to read this word for word, this part of the story. This story was released. I don't know who it's tied to, what's team. But anyway, it says, Golden State Warriors, New Orleans Pelicans injury report revealed. The Warriors will be extremely shorthanded. This was posted 18 hours ago. So right now, it's 10 o'clock a.m. on a Tuesday. 18 hours ago means that it was 4 p.m. when this story was posted. So think about that for a second. You don't know as a fan until 4 o'clock the day of the game that these guys aren't going to play. And the game was, I don't know, the game probably was what, 7:30 last night probably?
It was 7.
7 o'clock. So you have 3 hours.
It was on NBA
That's
TV.
A bunch of crap. You want to be at the stadium an hour before.
Right.
Now if you travel a ways, you're completely at the shaft. You don't even know until you get to the arena and they're not going to play. Don't they need to announce this even sooner, like first thing the next morning?
Yes. You could do this with Beloit and Concordia. Like, do I want to go? It's 4 o'clock. I don't know if I get this done and I can go. But you can't do this in the middle of New Orleans. I don't know where the stadium's at, but you can't do this in the middle of New Orleans. You can't do this at Madison Square Garden. You have to plan to get there. You have to.
It's called traffic.
Yeah, right, right. These are huge cities, and oh my goodness, yeah. This is.
I'm getting more upset as I read this. I should not have brought this up. And imagine I'm not the one that paid for a ticket and got the shaft not once, but maybe twice. But listen to this. So this is what the story says: the Golden State Warriors will be extremely shorthanded against the Pelicans on Monday night. Golden State is on the second night of a back-to-back. God forbid they play two nights in a row. So they're opting to rest their key players. Now listen to this. This is the great stuff. The Warriors will be missing Steph Curry with right elbow soreness. Well, quit shooting so much. Draymond Green with lower back injury management. Andre Iguodala with left hip injury management. And Klay Thompson with right Achilles tendon injury management. Wait for it. Yes, management. Right. Kevin Looney is questionable with a left hand contusion, and Andrew Wiggins questionable with left foot soreness. There's a decent chance the Warriors will miss their entire starting lineup against the New Orleans Pelicans. Three of those five players, the last word was management. They don't have any. If it's a playoff game, those guys all play.
And it's probably your way around of not having to report everything to the NBA about why you're sitting these guys.
Sure.
You put it on an injury report.
You
say,
make a
hey,
story.
This is what it is. Instead of being like the Spurs and putting did not play old for Tim Duncan.
And that might be the difference between getting fined and not, right?
Yeah.
Steph has elbow soreness. If it's game 7 of the NBA Finals, he might have a broken elbow and he's going to play. And I get it. Like I said, I know players want to extend their careers. I get that you have a lot of money wrapped up in the players. I understand as a coach, you're trying to do what's best for your team at the end of the year. I do get that. But it's just absolutely horrible for the fans again. And that's what usually happens when these players strike, when the owners lock you out. The fans always get the shaft. The fans are the ones that support. Without fans, as Dusty accurately pointed out, without fans, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson don't make money. If there are no fans, there are no TV deals. And that's where you make the most money, on the TV contracts. If people don't watch the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NFL, and people quit watching on TV and quit going to games, and you had empty stadiums and the games weren't on TV, they don't get paid. They don't have a job. They have to go work like everybody else. And so, once again, the people that really make this whole engine go, and I get it, it all works together in one. Well, without players, you don't have a sport. Well, without fans, you don't have a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Without owners buying a team and putting a team together, you don't have a team. I get all that. But it always seems like the fans are the ones that get the shaft every single bleeping time. And this really, really frustrates me. Can't imagine if I was one of those people right now that bought money or bought tickets and then that's what I got to watch last night. A game that was thrown, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were supposed to be trying. New college football playoff rankings to be released. What do you expect tonight? Same order? Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, same order at the top four?
I think those four will be the same order.
You think TCU would jump Michigan at all, Flip?
I doubt it.
They both won on last-second field goals against teams they probably should have beaten worse than they did,
yeah.
I feel like. So I don't think that's going to change the committee's mind and have TCU ahead of Michigan.
I don't think so either. TCU did win on the road. Michigan had to win at home.
And I think knowing that Ohio State and Michigan play each other, it takes care of itself, so they won't change it.
Yeah, they keep it 2-3. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Georgia's one, obviously. Okay, who's five? Southern Cal gonna be five.
I could see Southern Cal being five.
I think USC's gonna be five.
Yeah.
Last week LSU was ahead of Southern Cal, but Southern Cal beat a top 15 team. I think USC's gonna go to five. I think LSU will stay at six.
Yeah.
And then the next question is who's seven? And to me, it comes down to two teams. Is it going to be Alabama or Clemson? And that's an important talking point tonight, because if Clemson is ahead of Alabama, then Alabama is really, really pretty much
done.
Toast unless USC, Clemson, LSU all lose, which is very possible, by the way. But if Alabama's ahead of Clemson, I guess there's still a chance that Clemson could still move ahead of Alabama.
Extra data point.
Right. That sometimes hurts or helps you. Do you think Clemson will be ahead of Alabama tonight?
I don't think they will.
So do we agree USC at five, LSU at six?
Yep.
And we think Alabama will be at seven?
Yep. Yeah.
And Clemson will be at eight?
Yep.
All right. And then who cares after that? Because I think that's all you got. That's the only eight teams that have a chance to go into the playoff. We're down to eight teams for four spots.
And anybody that's going to lose isn't going to drop that far down to past Clemson.
Because after that, you got Utah at 10, Penn State at 2, Oregon at 10, or 12. And then North Carolina, they have two losses, so they're out. Ole Miss lost. They were 14th. So, yeah, there's nobody after the top eight, because Tennessee now, I think, is out.
Yeah. Should be.
Even though they have the same record as LSU and beat LSU head-to-head.
They should all be out.
I think the fact you got 63 to South Carolina should hurt you quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I think Tennessee's out. So it's down to eight teams for four spots. And we know Georgia's going to have one of them. So now we're really talking seven teams for three spots, aren't we?
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Playoff rankings come out tonight. I say playoff very loosely. Only four teams are allowed.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.